Welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Brian C. Wood, and with me this afternoon is our good friend from IGN, Jim. How are you, Jim?
How are you guys doing today? Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you making some time for us. We were anxious to get your thoughts on the much and very long anticipated Avengers Endgame trailer. And last week was a pretty busy week for Marvel as a whole. So your thoughts and impression on the Marvel media blitz of last week?
Yeah, boy, was that ever something. We I will say I really enjoyed the trailer. I think it does its job. It's amazing how little it actually does communicate in terms of what you know and don't know about the movie. But it's also incredibly effective at yet again kind of setting the mood and whetting the appetite of fans to want to learn and see more from this again a final chapter, but we'll see if anyone really dies this time.
Yeah, there need to be stakes, right?
Yeah, I will say the Captain Marvel trailer, like, I liked. I think it looks fine, but you know, it's not setting the world on fire for me so far the way some of the other Marvel movies have. I think because there are just certain, you know, elements and tropes that seem like they're in the movie that I feel like I've seen in other Marvel movies now. Like, I feel like I can kind of guess maybe some of the twists and turns in the story, but it's got a great cast, and I can't wait to see what Brie Larson does with it.
Yeah, I get kind of a Thor feel from those trailers so far. Kind of the outsider coming in to a new world kind of thing.
Well, it's also too, like, I feel like at this point with Robert Redford in Civil War and Obadiah Stane and Kurt Russell's character, like, you know, you can, the minute they showed Annette Bening, I'm like, okay, she turns out to be the big bad, I bet, you know. And Jude Law, I think it seems pretty obvious he's probably going to end up being a villain as well, you know. I don't know. I feel like there are certain elements that seem like they're in the movie based on the trailer that I just feel like it's kind of been there and done that. But we'll see. I mean, I love the outer space battle stuff, and Brie looks cool, I'm interested to see what, you know, the Skrulls are going to be like. But just the story itself, I'm hoping that it's going to be that'll surprise me. You guys getting any sort of like a bit of a RoboCop vibe from that stuff too, of like trying to regain your memories and piece your identity back together kind of thing?
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of a concussion movie or something like that, where, you know, you have to, you know, figure out who you are. And I think that the only reason they're going that way is because they don't want to do the traditional route of an origin story, and this is the way that they can do it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But your thoughts on the descriptions that you've read coming out of Brazil about Spider-Man Homecoming's sequel, Spider-Man Far From Home?
I mean, it sounds interesting. It's got, I would imagine Peter Parker's going to go on a cool field trip in each one of his movies. The first one he goes to D.C., this one they go overseas. I mean, like, I'm telling you, Spider-Man 3 will be like Space Camp or something like that, you know. But his school must have a far better, you know, funding than most other schools. But
pays to be a magnet program.
Trips. Yeah. But it sounds cool. I mean, the Mysterio thing, the fact that they're playing him up as sort of like, oh, we're going to be, you know, buddies and allies. But I tweeted a theory I had, and now I'm beginning to find out other people suspect this too. What if Nick Fury in that movie isn't really Nick Fury, it's the Chameleon, kind of like trying to pull a fast one, you know, and he's teamed up with Mysterio. And the fact that the elementals are in there, a lot of people speculating, oh, the elementals are just sort of an illusion or a ruse being concocted by Mysterio.
Yeah, I read that theory on your Twitter feed, and I was interested in it because it continues to build toward a Sinister Six, which I would think would be where you would go with a third Spider-Man solo movie. But I also wanted to get your thoughts on the fears that many fans have that the success of Venom, now over $800 million globally, might impact the Sony deal with Marvel, and that they might decide to take Spider-Man back. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's not just Venom. I mean, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is fantastic. I saw it again last night. Really loved it. It's one of my favorites this year. And I think that movie's going to be a solid success. So it does sort of raise some questions about, you know, what is next now that, you know, Sony has... I didn't like Venom, but it was a hit. There's no denying that. A lot of folks out there did like it, obviously. It made $800 million domestic and did great in China. And so I think there's definitely an incentive for both parties to stick together when it comes to Spider-Man. But, you know, I mean, it was a temporary arrangement, and they'll have to sweeten the pot for Marvel. Marvel will have to sweeten the pot for Sony, because they were able to strike that deal at a time when Sony didn't have much leverage. And now, as you're kind of alluding to, with Venom being such a success and Sony ramping up sort of a Spider-Villain universe and having this whole kind of side thing with the animated movies, it does kind of suggest that, hey, maybe we can get by with just Tom Holland Spider-Man on our own. So we'll see. I think they'll still make a deal for at least another couple of movies, but you know, if it fell apart, it would be hugely disappointing, but I wouldn't say, from my experience, it would be surprising.
Yeah, I don't think at this point anything would be surprising where Sony and Tom Rothman and Amy Pascal are involved, considering the Sony hack and everything that came out with Pascal's emails and all of that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we're also looking at the, as we get closer to the Oscars here, something to kind of chew on. Avi Arad has a better shot right now of winning an Oscar than Kevin Feige does. Because Spider-Verse is probably going to win Best Animated Film.
Yeah.
And I don't think Black Panther is actually going to get as many nominations or be remembered as much as everyone was hoping maybe 6 months ago. You know, its Screen Actors Guild nomination today definitely bodes well that, you know, it could get a spot in the Best Picture nominations. But I think the chances of seeing Michael B. Jordan or Ryan Coogler or you know, other facets of the movie get recognized are pretty slim right now.
Yeah, I noticed that the SAG nomination was for ensemble for Black Panther, whereas other movies like such as A Star Is Born or Roma, you know, kind of were across the board in different categories. So.
Well, I mean, there were some surprising snubs there, too, like, and I think it shows, too, like, If Beale Street Could Talk, I saw that recently, thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised that it was snubbed by the SAG Awards, you know, Regina King was, I believe she was overlooked, and, like, you know, it was, but I think that speaks to that movie not being shown to as many people as probably it should have or could have been.
Screeners.
I know Annapurna, the company putting it out, is having a lot of difficulties right now. So I think it speaks to them just not getting enough eyeballs on a movie like that.
Screener issues have been a problem for previous Oscar contending movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to say there weren't many press screenings either. Not that we're voting on any of these Guild Awards, but like, there were only a couple, and I got into, I had to rearrange my schedule to make sure I saw that, because I could tell that, you know, I only had like two chances to see the thing.
Yeah, so, welcome to our world where, you know, it has to
You guys don't want to hear it.
Well, no, I mean, like, it has to expand into over 1,000 theaters for us to get it. So, like, most of the Academy movies end up here in January or February if they're released in November. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's really tough when you're reading stuff about films and you aren't going to be able to see them until after really almost time for the nominations to come out.
It's definitely, I know that there are, like, some digital screening options and some things, but, I mean, understandably, for security reasons, they're really strict about access to that, but there has to be something for, you know, regional critics groups and just in different, you know, media outlets in general. There has to be a better way to kind of get those pictures out there.
I agree. So I know you don't have much time, but I would be remiss if I did not ask about Aquaman. Chad is on pins and needles, anticipating, hoping that he can...
Aquaman comment. There you go.
Yeah. So, your thoughts, sir, on what you saw as I saw that you had posted your review.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of things in the movie that don't quite work. And, like, if you took any kind of section of the movie out on its own and kind of, like, just watched it, you're like, oh, that doesn't really work. But, you know, as a cohesive whole, it's so goofy and goofy is the wrong word. It's so out there and just goes for broke that you get caught up in the spirit of it. Like, this is a movie where they ride seahorses in the battles and a Kraken is voiced by Julie Andrews and just, it's bananas, you know? And I think it's the fact that it doesn't play scared helps the movie. If that movie had pulled its punch or been, or again, like to use a gambling metaphor, like had played scared, it would have been another Green Lantern. You know, Green Lantern, I did a set visit for that, and Jeff Johns was the one like showing us around. And so they were showing us all the concept art of Oa and all that. And I was geeking out. And everyone is like, I'm telling you, dude, on set, everyone's like, oh, this is going to be awesome. But I remember asking him, Jeff Johns, I'm like, hey, is Chip going to be in this? And they're like, yeah, no, that's too far. And then you flash forward a couple of years, and you know, Marvel is doing Rocket Raccoon, and so yeah, you can tell that Marvel just was not scared and was confident and unabashedly comic booky. And finally, Aquaman is the DC movie that does that, and it's just fun. It's just
a good popcorn movie that doesn't take itself too seriously and does it with the character that no one has taken seriously ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the fact that the inherent goofiness of it all, the weirdness, but I guess get your hat to Zack Snyder for this. He's got humor, and he's tough, but he's fun, he's the old expression, you know. So he helps the movie in a lot of ways, and James Wan knows really, like, there's so many different elements in this movie, and he keeps it all from the outside of it.
Well,
yeah, you could find a lot of goofy things in there that wouldn't necessarily work.
Yeah, the guy who had to helm a movie with the death of Paul Walker, understanding how to navigate a turbulent situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, he really captured sort of the fun vibe that this movie needed, but sort of the epic scale too. Like some of that, the Atlantis stuff is just, all of that is great. That was like, you know, how like, oh, well, it was like the best part of Green Lantern, but it was in the movie so little. This is like all of that, but now with the full kind of world building that you were hoping for.
Yeah. So I'll get you out on this. What do you make of The Irishman being a Netflix film and Netflix's announcement that they're going to start putting some films?
I can't wait to see it. Yeah, the whole Netflix of it all. And,
Jim?
I'm on Sabethi, who has fought so hard for so long with film preservation and you know, obviously on the big screen. It's basically at that point in his career that a lot of the loving and you know, I have to kind of say the next thing is that soon kind of making it happen kind of thing. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's probably for the best for Scorsese because that movie was hugely expensive from what I understand and all the de-aging tech going into it. I don't foresee a way that theatrically would have been anything but a black eye from, like, Silence was another passion project of his, and that thing, like, utterly tanked commercially. I enjoyed the film, but it was a movie made for about five people, and I guess I was one.
Yeah, me too.
No, and so, like, but, you know, you can't, there's the kind of movies now that can put a company out of business theatrically, like, if they keep failing. I mean, we're seeing an Annapurna struggle with that right now, you know, so I think Netflix allowed the movie, and we saw this kind of recently with Mowgli. You know, Netflix doesn't release their numbers, so we probably won't know how well or how poorly The Irishman might do. But it'll get all the hype, and it'll get a limited theatrical run, so you can be happy that people, select audiences, will see it in a giant screen. And it'll get, you know, whatever awards consideration it'll end up getting. But the tags, no one's ever going to know about it, just Mowgli.
Right.
You know?
All right, Jim. Well, we appreciate your time. Plug all your great work on IGN. I know you've got a lot of year-end content coming up.
Oh, God, yeah. That's what I was doing. And sorry again for being late to the podcast, but thank you, as always, guys, for having me on.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you, Jim.
Take care, guys.
Will do. Thanks for calling the Governor's Office of Constituent Services. This is Brian. May I help you?